So, this is a conversation with Bruce Neowith. And hi, Bruce.
Howdy.
And over time, you and I have been talking a lot about shared field. So today, what we're going to do is share some of this with people and start a conversation with the community.
Okay.
So maybe kind of jump. Let's jump a little bit to talk about shared field, and maybe one way to start is I like to think of it as mindful interaction, but there's something more actually that comes to it, more than mindful interaction, when we call it shared field. So you want to maybe talk a little bit about that?
Okay. I've heard actually from Bruce Gibbs often describes focusing as a kind of mindfulness practice where you're being mindful to a felt sense quality of things. You know, it's a kind of, you're not just watching thoughts or watching feelings, but you're also tracking in your body felt senses.
Yeah. So maybe it bears repeating slowly that sense of focusing as a mindfulness practice where you are mindful to a felt sense of things.
Right. And I guess what, even within focusing, what felt senses we're mindful of can change. There is something that I used to find myself falling into, which is that there is a felt sense. And at this point, the way I hold it, I guess, is that a felt sense is kind of almost like an interaction between an inquiry and it's directional. So if I ask, what do I feel like eating for breakfast? I'll get a certain felt quality. If I ask, what's my felt sense of my comfort level in this interaction, I'll get a different experience. And so it's not like there's a felt sense.
Right. But so two things maybe just to isolate. One is that the felt sense or the felt sensing activity is relational because we're asking something inside, and two is in that relation there is something that depends on what we're asking and how we're asking and what it's about.
Right. And there's a lot of factors I happen to be interested in. We're not going to really talk about that today, but I'm happen to be interested in some of the factors that have felt sensing, and I wrote a very opaque folio article a few years ago with some of the factors, but all that I want to connect it with now is that one of the things that one can felt sense into is the sense of we or a relational field or a larger thing than just my individual self. Okay. That's how I want to connect that.
So that's beautiful because actually I really appreciate the way you did is in a way, instead of introducing an abstract concept, you introduced the invitation for people to experience felt sensing into the quality of we.
Thank you. That's a nice and much more succinctly than I said it. It is another dimension. And if we're sometimes, I guess I'll just speak about my own interest. Sometimes it seems that some larger sense shows up, shall we say, in the focusing space. There feels like there's a larger presence. We suddenly feel purely connected. Sometimes, as I was going to say, quote, it just happens, right? Mm-hmm. It wasn't invited, but that sense is strong enough that we actually recognize it and will perhaps even, you know, comment on it or reflect it back as part of an interaction.
Yeah. So that something is not necessarily me. It's not necessarily you, but it's us. It's the we field. It's that shared field. And it's...
Right. It's either us or it's us and more, right? It may be a sense of the presence of something. And so part of the question is what would happen if we intentionally opened ourselves to this more, or what would happen if in a way I'm sensing, like as we're talking, I'm sensing into me, maybe sensing a little bit as to where you are, and then also kind of a third thing of like sensing into what's the nature of the interaction. It's not an individual body that has individual boundaries, but it is something that can be sensed into.
Yeah. But so very beautiful. Again, I really appreciate the language that you're having. You say the sensing, the interaction, and it's not me necessarily, it's not you, but there is something happening, and that something is going to remain invisible unless we sense it. So there's a slowing down and an attunement and a willingness and an openness to, or a curiosity, to let that sense come through.
Right. Nicely said. So I can be quiet and invite more response here, or what would make sense here?
Well, it's nice when you mentioned this, that maybe we're slowing down the nature. You know, we started in a way, I know my voice was kind of rushed at the beginning and as we're talking, I'm coming to a slower place and a slower pace. And it's, you know, and we're on Skype, so it's not like there is a physical presence of, but maybe there is a sensing of that field we're in that takes a life of its own.
Yeah, so if I just kind of be with that, there's kind of a like, where do I want to go with it? And I'm also just kind of floating. It's kind of harder for me, but floating out. Where would it want to go if it wanted to go somewhere? And maybe I'm just kind of sensing into almost like, what would the shared field want to say about itself? Sorry, that's just...
No, that's beautiful. I like this. And, you know, it's funny because at the same time as you said that, you know, you articulated where I was. But having articulated it, I then shifted to someplace different. And it's funny because... It's not that you said something that was the opposite of where I was. To the contrary, it was because it was in sync and you articulated it. Then I was able to go someplace else. And where I found myself going is to say, but, you know, we had an intention to actually share a little bit more about this with people, talking a little bit more, as opposed to just you and I having an experience of it.
Right.
And so there was a sense of hanging on to that part that happened because you had really actually articulated, you know, the part of me that really wanted to go and follow where this field was going.
Very neat. Very neat. So I'm going to make an attempt to speak from what I'm going to call, quote, the shared field in this moment as I'm whatever. And it's almost like the words that come are, I exist, remember me, and we can do a lot of neat things together. And so maybe I'll just leave it there and see where this goes from there.
Well, you know, there's for me a moment of fun, you know, I would use delight, you know, in the sense of the field speaking. And there's something very fun about that. I exist. I'm here. You know, just pay attention to me, or, you know, I'm the air you breathe. And enjoy it, you know, and it's what gives you life, and that's where you swim, you know,
right.
There's something that feels very wonderful about inviting people to notice that. So when we talked about having this conversation, we were thinking about sharing more examples of ways it is, but where this conversation is going is actually to invite people, when they focus, to actually maybe spend time exploring, sensing that shared field.
Mm-hmm. And so when I hear that, I feel both excited and somewhat anxious, which I'd like to say a little bit about.
Yeah. Great.
The anxious place, I think I'll speak to first. And it has something to do with boundaries and safety and protection. And so, what do I want to say about this? I'll just say, personally, I've received criticism because there is sometimes a fine line between shared fields, sensing into, is somebody, quote, violating some kind of boundary with somebody. In terms of, like, this is my space and it's my process, and there's a real value in being able to have that, and yet, .. Let me just leave it like that.
Well, you know, when you're saying this, I actually jump because I'm noticing a sense of frustration or even anger I'm not sure whether I hear you correctly, but I felt like, in a way, you being exposed to a judgmental comment about what's right and not right in focusing. And if I'm correct in understanding that, my sense of it is the beauty of focusing and the beauty of shared field as we're talking about it is it's an interactive space where respect comes from negotiation. So, you know, on one end of the continuum, you could have a shared field where actually it is totally for somebody and the other person is a listener and is of service to the listener. And on the other end of the spectrum, you can have something that is totally interactive and open and anything in between. But the beauty of it is people can negotiate what feels right, as opposed to there's a right way and a wrong way.
Thank you. It helps to kind of see the listener hyphen focuser as one unit, mm-hmm. almost like the listener as being a holding container, right? Like a Winnicottian holding space, or like a support, or like the egg shell that allows the egg to mature. And It's not that a person can't do that for themselves, right? If you focus solo, part of you becomes the holding. One aspect of you takes the holding posture, and one aspect of you takes the actual focusing posture. So it's not that this can't be done solo, but I appreciate the way of seeing partnered focusing as a special case of shared field where the roles are particularly well defined and distinguished in order for certain things to happen. And likewise, if you change the particular roles, you get a different interaction and you get different chemistry. It's mm-hmm. for different reasons, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, you don't want the eggshell to quiver and wiggle and move all around when you have really delicate yolk inside.
Yeah.
But in other contexts, there may be a way of a back and forth or interaction or two people riffing off each other, like in jazz, mm-hmm. which is a completely different genre than the eggshell egg yolk. And each of it is beautiful. I'm speaking for the, you know, also to kind of bring the jazz genre into mm-hmm. focusing mm-hmm. as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So the more jazz interaction where there is the more of a free form. You know, I think the beauty of when you're using the jazz example is that what makes jazz possible is that the musicians actually listen to what's happening. Mm-hmm. They're not just making chaotic noise, but they find the resonance to each other, which allows each person to riff, but in a way that the total works together as a whole and that they feed into each other. So if we were using the example of this to say everybody makes noise their own way, you know, it wouldn't be focusing. But if we're talking about attuning and resonating and giving back something, yeah, wonderful. And not everybody is going to want to play that kind of jazz. Some people are going to want or need at some moment something that's much, much more structured. But we
right.
have, but the shared field is the possibility of all that continuum where you can choose what feels right for you at the moment.
Right. It's nice to know what else is possible. And I guess, yeah, yeah. I'm thinking of multiple examples, but maybe I'll just pause here and see if there's more you want to say.
No, that feels great. That was very nice. Go ahead.
Maybe I'll start with some examples inside of focusing that I've seen.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, Marta Stapert, in Europe, who does some extraordinary work with focusing and babies. And often she is actually sensing into the baby and what the baby might need and articulating it and going back and forth in this way. And there are some examples with some of the Romanian orphanage she worked at and other places where this ability really, it gave transformative results for some of the babies she worked with. There were children that began able to suck and gain weight. They realized something was needed. There's a way that this process, the sense I make out of it, in a way, is that she and the baby become almost like one felt sensing unit.
Mm.
And her capacity to articulate, but the baby is alive. It has ongoing process. She's able to resonate with it. And, you know, and checks with it, and something's going on there that allows the baby in particular to be carried forward by this type of interaction in a focusing way.
Yeah, yeah, but I like how when you position this within the context of shared field, there's something different that happens, and I want to point it out.
Sure, please do, yeah.
We could tell the story of this situation, that story, from a place of the person, the adult, the specialist, the doctor, the therapist, you know, whoever is that wise person, is listening and then drawing something from the kid and healing the kid. And as you're talking about it within the context of a shared field, actually this person, you know, does not have to be in a way, the expert about understanding what's happening inside the kid, because it, you know, she doesn't have to have a claim to knowing the truth about it, but in a way she's in touch with her perception of the shared field. And as she is resonating to the shared field and feeding into the shared field, then the baby or any other recipient, in a way, is going to also be fed through the shared field. So it's a very, very different, you know, it ends up talking about the same thing, if you want, but in a different sense, because by creating and sensing the shared field, in a way, we have less at stake about knowing what's happening in the other place, because it's all happening, in a way, through the shared field.
You don't have, yeah, it minimizes the kind of expert paradigm around this.
Yeah.
So I was very moved by her process, and I you know, without mentioning anyone's name, since I don't have their permission to mention their names, there are some people who in the focusing community who offer attention in similar ways to people, in a way almost like connecting with the other person's energetic field, almost like offering their processing capacity so that the person may be able to move forward something that they're working with in their own right way, in their own, you know, without either with or without their conscious knowledge of this. You know, and it's really kind of it's a healing modality that way. It's almost like making a connection like Marta does with the baby, and then touching the baby's knowing, and then, you know, with the additional capacity, and she's also a mouthpiece as well as a connector. Is there something that needs to be said? Is there something that just will shift inside? And
Yeah. So again, using this example in a way to how people who listen to this and find themselves inspired by it might experiment with it and play with it. You know, so we're not just thinking about, oh, isn't it amazing that some of these amazing people do that? But here's how you can actually play with it.
Exactly.
And what you were saying, I want to highlight some of what you were just saying about her and what people can apply. If you're in a focusing partnership, and again, if the two people are willing and you're willing to do that experiment, it's not something that you're forcing on people, but you might discover what it's like for you instead of, in a way, repeating what the other person is saying. Or feeling that you're simply resonating with the other person, just a sense of that you are actually attuning to the field and you are speaking from the field. And what difference there is about that is, you know, just let yourself see that in a way, explore whether speaking from the field might free you up from the sense that you have to be right about what the other person is saying. But you're simply, in a way, following what resonates for you about that. And then the other person then is not correcting you either when saying, well, it's not that for me. Because in a way, both of you are speaking about the field and about your personal sense of what the field is.
Right, and you can't, quote, prove whether you're right or not, but this is not about proof. This is about, I have this example of something like this, and the people did not use focusing language, but there were Scott Peck back in the 1980s, I think, started initiating these things called community building workshops. And there are workshops where people would sit in a circle. They came with the intention of, quote, forming community. That was the intention. What community is a safe place. There was a little, and then the group would do a process that wasn't that different in some ways from the old T groups, except that the leaders had some, they read a story to help orient people. And then at times they would give feedback, and often the feedback say things that really blew my mind. Like, I think the group is feeling kind of boring. What do you think? Right? They'd flow. Group is, how the heck could the group feel anything? Right?
Right.
And it was like, they're making this stuff up, you know, but then if you'd stop and check, it's like, well, I feel kind of bored, and he looks kind of bored, and she looks kind of bored, and, you know, and then it's like, well, maybe there is. And after, I guess I'd attended maybe three of those workshops over about a year and some. And by the third workshop, I began, by hearing some of these feedback, I began to occasionally be able to sense it for myself. Wow, it feels like this is what's happening in the group field. This is not any individual, but this is what's happening. Oh, somebody is just tense here. Somebody's about to speak, or somebody's about to pop, you know, and you could feel that. And so I learned it by being in a, shall we say, a co-sensing group, where some people who were skilled were offering feedback. And then over time, I began to get it through their articulation.
Right, right. So, that's a very nice example of showing, you know, how it happens, how you can learn to do it by being there. But I want to also highlight a word you used. You used the expression a co-sensing group. And maybe, again, that's a word I want to give to people to see if that image is something that, when you are focusing in a partnership, and you think of it as, oh, this is a co-sensing moment. And again, as we said at the beginning, there are different kinds of focusing partnership, that some that are going to be more structured, some less so. So, it, you know, to use with caution as appropriate.
But, right, right.
But that sense that, you know, if the two of you are okay with it, a sense of embarking in a co-sensing adventure, as opposed to maybe the more rigid role of listener and focuser.
Right, right. One of my focusing partners, who we're hoping to do something related to shared field also you and I have been talking about this, and Bruce Gibbs and I have been talking about doing something also at the International next year. Sometimes we'll have a conversation, and suddenly it will, or we'll take turns about something, and suddenly it'll feel like, quote, it has a life of its own.
Yeah.
And then we're both following it, right? I'm looking at it from my perspective, sensing into what's alive for me, and he's sensing into it, and it sparks things in each other, and it starts to run and take off, kind of like, you know, this conversation where suddenly we'll grab one of something and off we go. And we've been, and then at some point in time, if somebody needs to do something more personal, it's like, oops, time out. Let's go back into traditional formation.
Yeah.
I need to work on this. And, you know, and now we go into one person hold space and the other person, you know, so it's a flexible reconfiguration.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think the part of it is to say that maybe it's like a more generalized formulation of what happens in that space. And so if you know it's not just, say, me and you in a pair, but there is also it, that shared field.
Then, right.
You know, we can have the option of, say, at some moment we're paying attention to partner A, at some moment to partner B, but at some moment to it, to the field.
Right.
And it's not a rigid thing of one or the other.
Yes, I agree. And it's interesting because I use the word it, but, and this is where, this is not to make things too crazy here, but it's almost like there's even different its, right?
Mm-hmm,
there's,
mm-hmm.
You know, there's almost like, what's the sense of the space of our interactional space? There's, what's the sense of the topic that we might be engaged in? You know, in the community building workshops, the it we were sensing into was kind of, quote, the group as a whole.
Yeah.
Whereas at one of the Focusing Internationals, oh gosh, 2002, where there was a Focusing in Architecture workshop, the entire group was sensing into the room and the architectural qualities of the furniture and the space, and each of us was sharing what we were sensing, and other people were hearing it and resonating. And there, we were not interested in the group. Nobody ever said, this is what the group feels like.
Right.
There, okay. What it was architecture, space, what the room felt like. So where we direct our attention, there are so many possibilities, and not to make anyone crazy with them, but I'm just aware that there's a lot of neat stuff out there. Maybe I'll just say it that way.
Yeah, no, that's very nice. So maybe that's a time to kind of tie all of this together. And when you said what you just said now, it reminded me is what you mentioned at the beginning about focusing being a mindfulness practice that is about paying attention to felt sense. And so as a mindfulness practice, it's about directing attention. And my sense of it is what we've been talking about is suggest some objects for attention. We're not just paying attention to, say, as a listener to a focuser. We're also, as most focusers know, paying attention to our own resonance of what's happening, in a listening mode. And we're also paying attention to the field. And the field itself, as you pointed out, can be the group as a whole, but can be the space, can be, so, .. So of, thinking of what we're talking about as a mindfulness practice, it's about the sense of what opens up when we shift our attention.
Yes. Yes, very nicely said. I'm going to add this maybe, and if this is Lawrence LeShawn, who was a first president of an Association of Humanistic Psychology, and he did the first work on cancer and psychotherapy. He also did work on non-ordinary phenomena. In one of his books, he quotes this concept called a functional entity. And a structural entity is like my chair. It's there. Mm-hmm. It's there all the time, right? And a functional entity is almost like when you look through a telescope and you see where it's pointed at, that's only there when somebody looks through it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And one of the definitions of a functional entity is it exists only when we offer it attention. And it feels like some of these felt senses, in a way, maybe any felt sense, maybe, is a kind of a functional entity. In other words, it exists when we give it attention. If we create some strange virtual reality and offer it attention, the energy of attention gives it some kind of a life of its own, even if only in fantasy world, right? Like a sci-fi novel.
Yeah.
But in a way, this is not totally virtual. There's actually a felt quality to it. So there's something about this whole thing that's intriguing. Like when we start to sense into, quote, the shared field, or this sense is actually a way that there's a certain kind of life it begins to be imbued with. And I don't want to get too, I'm just going to leave that really light because I don't know enough to say anything.
Yeah, no, that's a beautiful invitation. That's a beautiful invitation that as you actually pay attention to this shared field, the curiosity about, well, paying attention to it in a way creates it, makes it apparent. And then, reality changes because you have paid attention to it and therefore it exists. And then it changes what happens.
Yes, yes, yes. That very succinctly said.
Yeah, very nice. Thanks, Bruce.
Well, thank you.
This is part of the Focusing Conversations series of the Focusing Institute, hosted by Serge Prangle. All contents are protected by copyright. You can find other such conversations on our website at focusing.org/conversations.